to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Aussie Tech Heads, episode 453, and it is recorded on the 3rd of September. We're into spring. How's that? Good stuff. And yes, and I just want to thank everyone, especially two people, not everyone, just two people, the greatest podcasters in Australia for looking after the show last week, Will and Warlock, who we have here tonight, as well as Erica. So let's go around the grounds. Let's go to Warlock first, because the adulation these pair just command is fantastic.
Or sickening, depending on which side of the fence you're on.
Yes. Check it out where I've been.
Oh, how good was that? The Microbee, Australia's own computer. I didn't even realise that was an Australian computer.
Yep.
True.
Got their card, went and visited them, did an interview, got to be on Old Fart Geeks, so keep an eye out for that.
Nice. And so what was, you saw the old machines, did you ever play with them?
I had a quick look. I didn't play with them, but I got an interview with him. That was the important thing, and had a look around the shop, and he showed me the R&D center, and they've got lots more projects coming up, and he's actually thinking of adding on it as a hacker space and maker stuff, so you can do the robots and hacking computer Arduinos, that sort of thing. I think he's just announced that on their Facebook page, so it was very, very cool to go visit them. And it was I just got into the shop, and he was heading out from the back. He's headed out the front door when I was coming in, and he's like, "Okay, I'll see you guys in half an hour." And then I walked in, and I had my Space Invader, my Pac-Man T-shirt on. He's like, "Oh, cool shirt." I was like, "Yeah, about that. Yeah. I've got this show, blah blah blah. How'd you like to do a bit of an interview and talk about your shop and stuff?" And we'll put it on our podcast and everything. So,
nice.
Yeah, we had a look around at some of the old stuff, some of the new ones that they're bringing out, some cases, add-ons and things that you can buy for it. And
so they got new Microbees coming out.
Yeah, he did a limited run of a professional Microbee that he'd created that's like a souped-up Microbee that plays all the old stuff, but it has new processors and things in there that can do more complicated stuff as well. So sort of a dual machine. And now, he did a limited run of about 140 of them, I think it was.
Yeah, right. Now, what sort of technology did you use to record the interview?
It was a LG G3. It's retro. No.
Oh, yeah. No. It was.
I got insurance. It'll be next week's show.
Yes.
All right, let's finish the introductions. And there's Will. Hello, Will.
Yeah, hi, Will. How you doing?
Hey, mate. How are we?
Are you here too?
Good. And Eric. How you doing, Eric?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Excellent.
And Glenn.
Yes.
Tell us about why you were away last week.
Oh, yes. Well, I was away last week. I moved house, and I'll tell you, that is a massive job, isn't it? Like, we've been in the last home for probably 13 years.
Especially with all the unopened boxes you've got at your place.
Well, so I didn't have to pack.
There's more of them now.
It's just more. I didn't have to pack, so how good's that? But, yeah, look, we moved, and it's yeah, it's great. I love it. It's good. You know, a new house is always good to do, isn't it? And, look, the only thing that's sort of a bit of a hiccup was, look, I tell you, if anyone out there has put TVs on the wall.
Oh, no, I get experts to do that.
Yeah, yes, but don't throw away the stands, because we had them all on the wall. We moved here and we sort of wanted them on the stands.
The original stands that you, the ones that are at the bottom of the base.
Yes, yeah. Everyone was at me. Everyone's saying, oh, you got too much crap, you know, chuck stuff away. You don't use it, chuck it away, chuck it away, chuck it away. So here I am. I put the TVs on the wall. Don't need stands, am I? Threw them away. And now comes to a situation where two of the TVs can't go on the wall for various reasons. I need stands. I've got to go scourging around. Do you know LG, I bring up LG for a stand for a 50-inch TV, $160.
Wow.
Really? $160. Wow. So
I'm going to go to JB Hi-Fi and say, can I have that TV without the stand? Save us $150.
Yeah, if I hadn't known they were that much, I would have sold them instead of just tucking them to the dump. But
$150, it's pretty rich. You expect to pay, you know, anywhere up to $180 maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah. But anyway, that's life.
Made in China for $3.50.
Yeah. But anyway, I found a me mate Joey. Hey Joey, I know you don't listen. He's a guy. He's got his 1,000 TVs in his shed. Fixes them up. I don't know how he makes a crust out of it, but that's what he does. And I said, I need a stand for this, this, and this. And he goes, let me have a look. He rummaged around, and he dropped a couple of stands off to my house today.
Did they work?
So far. He had to re-drill a couple of holes. Was a bit shaky. But good old Joey.
I think it'd be cheaper to get a new TV than up your insurance policy somehow.
Oh, look, so far so good. It's still standing. So, you know.
TV too. I got a Samsung Plasma from 3 years ago, and it was the last of the old gen plasmas. And there's plasma burn now in certain parts of the screen, so that's great.
That's no good.
Yeah, so I'm looking at getting a new TV as well, about 60 inch. I'm not sure what I'm going to get yet, but
what's the go with curved TVs? Any ideas? Any?
I don't have one.
That's a bit of a wonk.
Yeah, it's like 3D. It's just one of those things. People will buy it.
This time next year, what's next? It'll be a concave one, so you're looking away.
Yeah.
An excuse to pay more money.
Yeah.
You wait 20 when they come out with 6x4 aspect.
Yeah. Then they'll come back, they'll bring back 4x3s.
No, I'm happy
with it. It's going to be a while before they even got 4K broadcasting anyway, so don't worry about too much.
No, that's right.
Everything anyway. I don't own any Blu-rays and I don't have a DVD player, so there's no point buying a 4K TV because I was never going to use it for anything.
1080p is fine.
Yeah. Look, even when I look at, 1080p is fine. Like even 720? Oh, that's good enough.
Yeah, my Samsung's 720 and you can't press to tell the difference.
Like Bill Gates said, 1080p should be enough for anyone.
Both my Sony's are 720.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're 9 years old.
The only time you do notice it a little bit is when you plug the laptop in and you've got to downscale the laptop a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, but when I bought mine, I think a car would have been cheaper.
Yes, they were expensive back in the old days, back in 2005, were they?
2006 or 7 I bought this, yeah.
I paid $1,500 for a 26-inch LCD.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I got mine when WOW, Sight and Sound were closing their doors. And I paid $500 for a 54-inch.
Listen, I remember paying $990 for a Canon Pubble Jet printer when they first came out.
Still in the box. You still got it.
This should be 1000. On our other show, Will. Back in my day, I bought a TV. Yeah.
$100 a meg of RAM. That's right.
Well, if you remember, when I first bought my HP e-printer, about 3 years ago. Remember those ones? And you could print from your iPhone, all that sort of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Right? When I first bought that, it was $375. And I replaced it probably 3 months ago for $195.
Mm.
And this is the upgraded model, not the same one. So I bought the HP ePrint 6 series. I got an 8 series one.
Yeah, right.
For half price.
There's this little, it's called the little printer, and it prints out your Twitter feed and your social networking stuff. It basically just prints out, you know, whatever you want to set it up to do. It's literally like, I think, 2 inches by 2 inches, the print surface, and it's $200 US.
That's ridiculous.
And it's just a little thermal printer. That's all it is. Like,
it's just like a credit card printer.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just $200 for something that just prints off stuff randomly
Another fad.
Yeah.
Another fad.
It's like a little print stamps.
Yeah, look, I feel like I'm in the 20s at a ticker tape for the stock market.
Yeah. All right. So every week, Aussie Tech Heads is brought to you by ATH Web Hosting. So if you need a web page or domains, I was going to say get in fast because the domains are going up a couple of bucks, but too late. By the time you hear this, they've already gone up on September the 4th. The sinking Australian dollar. Right. Sorry, Will?
Speaking of domains, just remind me, after the show, I've got to actually pay for my domain again.
Oh, well, you missed the cheap ones. They've gone up.
MrTomkinson.com.
They went up at $2, I think.
Oh, the exchange rate shit itself. That's why.
You can't say you weren't warned. He did put it on Facebook and Twitter.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
That's right. But anyway, I might have a code, Will, that you might be able to use. We'll see how we go.
Give him a code that increases the price.
Yeah, doubles the price. Yeah, that'll be right.
Yeah, I didn't say there's one to take it away. Yeah, so athwebhosting.com.au if you need web pages, domains, all that sort of gear. So jump in and have a look. And look, don't forget the Aussie Tech Radio, you know, with a 24/7 shoutcast stream of good old Australian and New Zealand tech podcasts, including two podcasts from the two greatest podcasters Australia has ever seen, Old Fart Geeks and the Obsidian Loft. When's the next Obsidian Loft coming out?
We need to do one of those soon.
Next week.
Yeah, Will. Yeah.
I'm going to be away this weekend, so it won't be this weekend. So probably Monday night, something like that.
I haven't listened to this latest Old Fart Geeks yet, episode 12. But look, I'll be doing some more unpacking on the weekend.
So. I saw some comment about our 8-bit music.
Oh, yes. You guys were doing you're doing 8-bit music sound grabs or something. And I'm in the other room, you know, you're just unpacking stuff. And all I hear is this, meep, 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 meep. And I'm thinking, oh, what's happened to the computer? So I rush straight in and then, oh, no, everything's all right. So I go back out and then I hear this, meep, 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 meep.
Last time I heard a noise like that, something caught on fire.
Yeah. Well, that's why I come tearing in to see what was going on. But then I realised, then I actually started listening to the show and then they were doing 8-bit noises. And I'm
yeah,
like, oh.
We were talking about the different sound cards that started off with just a driver for your PC speaker and then 8-bit sound card, 16-bit, 32, and
that's right. Oh, look, I was jumping in my own spacing, and I had a Sound Blaster Live. I had one of those Visa cards.
Yeah,
all this
great
sort of stuff. Yeah, I remember those. Ooh. All right, now
we're going to have him on the show one time, Will.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yes. Actually, that way hasn't got an excuse to not listen to it. He'll be there.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I want to come on because I just find myself wanting to add and do some input as I listen to it. It's
that's why we did it, because we talk so much about retro stuff on here. We're like, we might as well do a bloody show about it instead of hijacking this one all the time.
Oh, people love it. People love it. But look, we have to move on to some good old tech news. Look, what's been happening? Well, I suppose the iPhone, you know, we've got a story about the iPhone coming up.
Oh, that's, aren't they going to do, isn't Apple releasing? It hasn't been a lot of hype about
the
upcoming
leaks.
Apple September.
Well, let's
9,
do that one
blah,
now.
Blah.
No. Well, let's, look, let me go down to my.
Hey, Glenn, I need a leak.
Okay. I'm not getting that one. I'm sure there's something to it. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, you need a bath. Yeah, I know. Put a potty under a bath.
I thought I was working with professionals.
Yeah, in the world. No. You can't work with children or idiots. So,
does anyone know? I was just looking at Glenn's domain checker on his website here.
Oh.
Just looking for domain names, just something to do while you're talking.
Well,
and there's
a
what do you call it? It's a suffix, right? There's a suffix.
Yep.
That's WTF.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, you can do that.
The funny thing about that is Google registered abc.xyz for their new company, and then somebody registered abc.wtf, and it redirects to Bing.
Yeah, that's funny.
Pretty funny.
But some of those domains are quite expensive, like those tricky ones.
Yeah, that one's $42 a year, that one.
I mean, this, I guess it's okay if you're a sign writing business or, you know, if you've got a reason to have that. But.
Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah. For example, my business, I could put alliancepartners.tax.
Yes.
Would make sense for me.
Yeah. What's the dot taxes worth?
$65 a year.
But see, that's nothing.
How much taxes on that? 20%.
Oh, it depends what Glenn's charging me on his offshore account.
GST.
I've got the double Filipino sandwich going on.
Double Filipino reach around.
Oh, so you got a lady boy coming.
Oh, the grubby sandwich. Now, look, let's get back to the iPhone, please. Thank
you. Please.
Please. Now, look, I've got a graphic for those on the video. There we go.
It's been graphic enough, honestly.
It's a bit late for that.
Now, if recent patterns hold, the phone will be called the 6S. But do you know there's been talk about that they might be skipping the S's and just going straight for the 7? And I sat here thinking to myself,
no.
Right? But they might be right, you know. I would fall into this category. I'd be one of these Gumbies that would go, yeah, if I had a choice of an S or a 7, of course I'd go seven. For the 7.
Because it sounds like you got the latest.
Yes. Right. Yes. Now, there's a perception amongst some consumers that the S models aren't as desirable as the others. So an Apple, well, because it's S.
Because it's still it feels like a current model.
Yes. Yes.
Well, S could stand for, you know, that word.
Well, look, when I started with the 5, and that's all I've had, but then when the 5S came out, I wasn't too upset because I think, well, I'm still in the 5s, you know. But look, if they brought out a 7...
Go nuts.
Yeah, going nuts, all right. But anyway, reports suggest that Apple may eventually choose to drop the numbers and letters entirely. So iPhone... Yeah, so 19S and all that sort of stuff. So it looks like they may be going to the whole numbers. So we'll see what happens.
In 10 years, what's it going to be called in 10 years? iPhone 17.
Yeah,
well, didn't they do that with like the Airs and stuff? They just went, this is the next iPad Air. This is the next Mac Air. They got rid of all that numbering crap and just said like fourth generation if you really need to know what it was.
That's right. And they look at the serial number or some other code. They go, well, that one was a 2012. That's a 14.
Yeah.
That's better. Get rid of all the numbering and S's and crap.
Mm. So it looks like they'll retain the same display size as last year's, the 6, the 4.7-inch diagonal screen for the regular model and 5.5 inches for the Plus model. The new ones are going to be apparently slightly thicker.
Why? Bigger battery? Well, better camera?
Not as thick as some.
There's there's issues with the camera in the 6, isn't there?
No. Oh. Cameras are brilliant on the 6.
I thought there was
on the big 6.
All of them been really good. Apple's always had the best cameras out of any phone you can get.
I thought there was an issue with blurry cameras, pictures.
They had bad batch of lenses or something, didn't they, early on?
Yeah. Apparently, if you had a blurry bad batch of a lens, you could take it back and get a new lens in it.
I'll put your glasses on.
Or you could just wipe your lens and take all the Kentucky Fried grease off it.
Well, you could do that. Apple 9-to-5 Mac. Says this year is set to add a new color, the rose gold.
Okay.
Which means a coppery hue.
I know Hugh.
Hefner.
What happened to him?
Grant.
Yeah.
Laurie.
The Apple Watch comes in that color as well. Well, that'd be nice. You'd be able to match.
Well, that's the point. Well, no point putting it in an Apple Watch because no one's buying it.
Well, I've got a story about them. Apparently, well, no one is buying it. They're making a big hoo-ha about, let's just finish this and we'll go on to that. The Apple 6 went on sale 10 days after last year's launch. So this year's launch is, I think, the 9th. Is that right?
Yeah, 9th their time. So that's the 10th our time. So
that'll be just in time for next week's show.
Would you say 9 days or 10 days?
10 days.
10 days. So that's the 19th. Mm. That's a Saturday. Nah, they usually do Friday launches.
Yeah, but hang on. So they launch it on the 9th, which is a Wednesday.
Yeah, available 10 days later on the 19th, which is a Saturday.
16. So 7, 8, 9. That's not right. I don't know.
I reckon it might be 9 days because they always launch on a Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
So you've got it for the weekend, you know.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to get one, Eric?
No. I just got this last year.
Yeah.
Well, I've barely had this 12 months.
I'm going to get one.
Yeah, I know you are. You're due one. You still got a bloody 5. Nokia Optus bloody brick.
6110. That's right. Whatever it was. So the first day you'll be able to get your... here we go. The first day you'll be able to get the new iPhone will be September 18.
There you go. Told you. Friday.
Reports say the cameras will boast 12 megapixels. They're 8 megapixels now. And 4K video recording. The biggest new feature and the one Apple will be promoting most will likely be something called Force Touch, which apparently are already in the watches. So Force Touch uses tiny little electrodes around the display that can distinguish between a light tap and a deep press. Don't you love those deep presses?
Yeah.
Users can tap the screen to open an app or press down firmly to access a new range of additional controls. There you go, the deep press.
Let's see how long that home button lasts.
Yes. Yeah, so look, I reckon, price-wise, what normally happens, Eric? Do they normally come in at the current pricing and the 6s just drop down to something else?
Yeah, I think they'll do that. But where someone like Telstra will make their money is they'll screw you on their plans.
Well, I'm going to buy this outright, I think. Before, a couple of years ago...
It made sense to go on a plan. I know now it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't. They've woken up. They're screwing everyone. All right. We did mention the Apple Watch, so sorry to hog everything, but let's just quickly go back to that one, because the Apple Watch... Yeah, because Eric made a comment about that they weren't selling, and look, I don't think they are either. But there's big hoo-ha around that, you know, the Apple Watch is within striking distance of the Fitbit. But
doubtful.
Anyway, who cares anyway? Like,
doubtful.
I wish Fitbit would open.
You can swim with a Fitbit. You can swim. You can jump in the shower. You can put your hand in the toilet. You can't do that with a bloody Apple Watch. What a load of crap.
I wish Fitbit would open source their technology so they could put it on like Android Wear watches and things like that instead of just buying Fitbit specific only ones. Throw away the technology, just do the software and the servers and stuff.
But will they make any money out of that?
Yes, heaps.
Apple shipped 3.6 million Apple Watches in the second quarter, which is not really a lot.
And how many were purchased actually?
Yeah, they ship them.
They always do that with these companies. They're like, we manufactured 60 million and we shipped 60 million and people bought 5 million.
So the Apple Watch, which has many health-related features and apps, is seen as the biggest rival to Fitbit trackers. Shipments of wearable devices more than tripled to 18.1 million units in the second quarter. So I suppose... Like, in relation to the actual units of all of these Fit devices, 3.3 or 3.6 million, it's only about a sixth, isn't it?
So that's... I don't know how popular they are for fitness devices or more like I've got an Apple Watch device. I don't think that people are buying it that much for the fitness stuff on it.
Yeah, look, I'd have an issue. I think it's just too small. I couldn't read it. I'm getting blind in my old age. Couldn't read it.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is that one? That's the Fitbit?
Fitbit.
Oh, yeah.
What have I got? What have you got, Glenn?
Fitbit. Is it HR?
I don't know. I think mine might be the Garmin one, I think.
I'll tell you, the day that the removalist turned up, that was the day I've done the most steps since I've had the Fitbit. I did just over 30,000.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Massive, massive day.
I'm cheering getting 10,000 a day.
Oh, but I was on my feet for 16 hours. It was just, yeah.
Who's your fitness device, Willie?
On his Willie.
You see, I've got one. Mine's out in the lounge room and you vibrate.
Wow, that big.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yes, well.
Yes.
Have you? I don't know if you've seen those cardio tech ads on TV. They've got the vibrating platform things.
Oh, you finally got it?
Yeah, I actually got the V9, which is a big stand-up version with like handles, pulse meters and stuff in the handles and stuff.
Let's go.
And it's pretty intense. It's 22 hertz vibration. And basically the way it works is it exercises your muscles it involuntarily reflexes on your muscles. It's pretty intense, actually. Like a 10-minute workout on it, which is quite a workout. Your heart rate sits at about 120 the whole time, and you're literally just standing there. It's pretty intense, and you feel really good. Like that, actually, you can feel it working.
Yep.
So,
that's good.
Yeah. It's for $5 a week, I figure. Absolute worst case scenario, it's going to give me a massage and increase blood circulation.
Yeah, oh, that's all right.
That's the worst thing that's going to happen.
I go to the gym. I'm a bit old-fashioned.
Yeah.
I was paying for a gym membership, but I was only going once every, you know.
Well, that's why, like, the one that I go to now, you buy, like, a card that's got 10 or 20 visits on it, and you could go 1 week and not for a couple of weeks, and it doesn't matter because you're not paying extra. You're not paying monthly.
Yeah, right.
For each visit, they just cross it off whenever you turn up. It's great. I'd never sign up for a contract with a gym again, especially since when I was in Sydney, I signed up for one, finished my yearly contract, and then I went in there 2 weeks before they were about to charge me for the next month, and I said, look, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to be able to make it, and you don't charge me in 2 weeks, just cancel it. They said, oh, no, we're going to charge you again in 2 weeks, whether you turn up or not, because that's our policy.
Oh, yeah. They'll say something like, we got a 3-week notification cancellation period.
We've got whatever you want to cancel it, plus another week.
Yes, we just want another week out of you.
Whatever you just said, we'll get another.
Yeah, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. All right. Jace, what stories have you got this week?
Well, since we were talking about Apple, the ongoing patent litigation saga between smartphone giants Apple and Samsung has entered a new chapter. Ooh. With a fourth trial before a jury to take place next year. United States District Court Judge Lucy Koh ordered a seven-day jury trial in April or March 2016 with the sole purpose of determining the amount of damages Samsung should pay for infringing on six Apple patents in five of Korean companies' products. Judge Koh placed strict boundaries on around what the two parties may do and say in the fourth trial. No further fact discovery or new sales data, products, methodology or theories will be allowed, nor will the court permit the scope of the retrial to be expanded. Koh also set time limits for opening statements, closing arguments and hearing of evidence, and how long the legal documents presented by each side can be. Apple and Samsung have been battling each other in court since 2011 over allegations that the latter copied the former's technology and intellectual property. Samsung has been on the losing end in the legal war, with a 2012 jury awarding Apple over $1 billion in damages, a figure that has been whittled down considerably over the following years to closer to $128 million.
Well, is this ever going to end? The 19S will be out before
those lawyers are making too much money from this to be able to let it end.
Why would they finish exactly?
Yeah, but it's just thought they just got nothing better to do. Because Apple doesn't want the money.
No.
And Samsung.
No, it's the principle.
But Samsung,
because if you don't protect your patents, you lose them.
Yep. Yeah, but the actual phone that started it all off did look like an Apple III.
Yep.
An iPhone 3. But now they don't look anything really much.
No, but they're probably going after the internals now.
Mm.
And the swipes and the touch screen and all those other finicky little things.
Yeah, right.
It'll be still going on when we're 60.
Oh, probably. And what are you?
And I still won't have the NBN.
No. How's your NBN, Will? And lead into a story
on
from
it,
there. Not
on anyway, it's shit.
Have they fixed up the side of your house?
No, nothing's been done. My NBN doesn't even work. It's completely unusable at the moment.
You're still on your phone.
NBN.
Yeah,
you can't use it. Who can you yell at?
Well, I'm
ringing. That's what you're saying.
What's that? Who are you with? Is it through Optus? Would it make any difference if you were with anybody else?
No, because NBN Co. is responsible for the install, and they're the ones that screwed it all up.
So it's the install that screwed up, or is it the actual lines just terrible?
Well, the way it works is Optus are the resellers, so they go through NBN Co. who organises everything, and then the NBN Co. contractors do the work.
Dodgy brothers.
Yeah, well, basically the problem is the NBN Co. contractors can be any Fred Smith, electrician. It hasn't got to be anybody who knows anything about it. They don't need to know how optic works. They don't need to know anything about that. They just need to apply for the fitting job, basically.
So if it's not installed properly, there's nothing anyone can do. So it all comes. It has to go back to the NBN installers because they're the ones that laid the pipes in the first place.
Yeah, basically, in my case, the optic cable from the way it looks, it's hard to see because of the way they've installed it, but it looks like they've actually damaged the cable on one of the runs, the actual optic, fiber optic. So it looks like they've taken the sheath off at one point where they've run the bloody 1.5-inch conduit along the front of the house. Instead of putting an elbow on it to go into the house, they've cut the conduit straight across put it through the hole and then filled it full of silicon. But where they've pulled it through the hole, obviously they've been pulling the cable through the conduit and they've taken the sheathing off the cable.
Fragile glass doesn't bend well.
Congratulations.
Oh, happy days. So you've been on to them then, Will. Have we got resolution coming?
No idea how much I've been on to them.
Ombudsman.
The account's messed up too because they just sent me a bill yesterday, which was going to be waived, but they sent me the bill and the only thing on the bill said speed pack. Speed pack, $25 charge for the speed pack. That was it. There was nothing
that's
mentioned.
That's the upgrade, isn't it?
Yeah. There's nothing mentioned. Actual internet, the phone, the TV package, nothing. And that's all it said. So now I'm getting on the phone again.
Oh, God, they're hopeless, aren't they?
Hey, that's just hopeless. All right, well, get into a better mood, Will. Tell us a story.
It's on the up.
That was his story.
So.
Once upon a time, there was a guy called Will. He was very pissed off at the end.
And that was a good day.
Oh, Glenn. Yeah, well, all right, I'll talk to Glenn after you tell your story, Will.
I was going to say, it has been one of those days because I dropped my car off this morning to get new brake pads put on it. And at 5 to 5, they rang me up and said, oh, we haven't finished it yet. I'm like, well, can I take it home?
You could have done it yourself.
Yeah, why didn't you do it yourself, Will?
Well, because I'm going away this weekend. I thought, oh, I'll just get them to do it.
Hmm.
Anyway, 5 to 5, they ring me up and goes, oh, we haven't done it yet. I'm thinking, oh, okay, cool. I'll pick the car up. I'll take it. No, they got as far as pulling one of the calipers off.
God, I hate it when they do that.
Who was this?
Just a local mechanic. Not my regular mechanic, just a local. I thought it's brake pads. How hard can it be?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I wouldn't know how to do it, but I'm sure they know how to do it very quickly.
I can do brake pads.
Put it 15 minutes. Yeah. You know, so now at 5 to 5, after everybody else has gone home, I now have to try and figure out how to get 45 minutes home and then get back to work again tomorrow. Oh,
good God.
Oh, Will, it's been a good day for you.
Thankfully, I've got a good mate who lent me his car, but still, it's not something, not a problem I should have had to worry about.
Well, you won't be going back to Wim, whoever he was. Yes.
All right, so.
Some tech stories.
There's a new bar opening in Brisbane, a futuristic bar where alcohol is absorbed directly into the bloodstream.
Oh,
Sweet, you guys.
It's called the Vape. What's the bar called?
It's called the Alco Bar.
It's the South Bank. It's based at South Bank. It's part of the Brisbane Festival, the first of its kind in the Southern Hemisphere. Its specially operated chamber will see alcoholic vapor from a gin and tonic pumped into the air, where it's absorbed directly into the bloodstream through the eyeballs, mucous membranes, and lungs, bypassing the liver. A 40-minute session is the equivalent of one large drink. The brains behind the UK, behind the idea, is UK design team Bompas and Par, Bompas.
Didn't they get in trouble for that recently or something? There was a complaint in the newspaper.
Yeah. Their first so-called cloud bar, alcoholic architecture, opened in London in July. They claim inhaling alcohol eliminates hangovers and cuts calories by 40%. But the concept's causing some concern among health professionals who believe the side effects could be deadly, blah, 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 blah. But the story goes on about how it's dangerous and now people are going to die more and stuff like that. But I think given that for the ticket price, you're only allowed in there for 40 minutes. And in that 40-minute period, it's designed to only deliver one drink.
Mm.
So it's, they've thought, and you can't just line up and go back in again. It doesn't work like that.
What about if you breathe really fast?
take a couple of deep breaths.
Last
time I saw old man Emu.
What if you went in there with a vacuum type bottle and your little vacuum cleaner looks coming out of your pocket and you sucked all the air in and I'm good, mate. I'll see you later. And you went outside and just snorted petrol
sucked it in like a balloon, helium balloon.
But yeah, so apparently, I don't know, they dress you up deliberately in overalls so that you can't overexposed to it.
Is this fair income or what?
Yeah. It's fully legit.
So you can come out with a blood alcohol reading?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
One gin and tonic, basically, it's the equivalent of.
Yeah, right. And how does it say how much it is to get into this dump?
It just says the patrons are able to use the vapor bar before and after the hour-long show. So you go in there 40 minutes before, then you have an hour show, then the 40 minutes after. So you get two drinks.
Oh,
and you're not allowed to consume. You're not allowed to drink alcohol inside the venue, ironically.
Great.
But it doesn't.
Isn't that the fun bit?
Well, yes, you'd think so.
Harry Parr from Bompas and Parr said the bar's humidity levels sit at 140% to enhance flavor perception. So not only do you get drunk, you get to go and live. You get drunk in a sauna.
Well, what, you'd be breathing everyone else's
sweat. That's
not
dangerous.
You'd be breathing sweat as well.
Dangerous getting drunk in a sauna. No one has ever passed out in a sauna and collapsed after being drunk.
No.
That's very smart.
Mm. There you go.
That's the bar. You get to go to the bar. I mean, I would go to the bar.
Nice.
Just to just to get the paper overalls.
All right, Eric, what were you saying?
Oh, tell us about your broad. You've got to give me an update on your broadband experience because it's been there about a week now, yes. And I just want to know whether they cut you off after 3 days like they did to me.
Oh no! Look, I didn't get cut off. I rang him up. I organised it all to happen. The tech came out the second day I was here. Don't know why, because the people before me had the cable. But anyway, they said they'd send the tech out, no charge. So out he trotted. And he checked all the ports and everything in the house, or the outlets and stuff. The biggest problem I had was when I wanted to confirm what plan I was on, because I didn't get the speed boost. And because I didn't get the speed boost, because this was when I organised everything, I said, this is what I want. I negotiated with the person on the phone, or luckily through chat, because it was all...
It's recorded, legal document,
which I later relied on and lent on to push my point. So I didn't get the speed boost. I ring him up. Oh, speed boost. No, it costs extra $20. I went, well, this is crap. I said, let's go back through this, me chat, and you'll see that everything here is for $95. So anyway, the upshot of it all was they go, look, we can get rid of your home phone. We can give you the 500 gig cable, we'll give you the speed boost, and all for $95 a month. And I went, fine, that'll do me. That's not too bad. But the night before I actually got all this finalised, I rang Telstra, and I don't know if it was because I rang at night or what, but I rang them up, and the lady says hello, Filipino, whatever. And I said, I just wanted to find out, please, what plan I'm on, And she goes, let me have a look. So it takes her 5 minutes. She comes back and she'll go, how much data have you got? And I went, well, 500.
You tell me.
Yeah, 500 gig. She goes, okay, that must be our medium plan then. And I said, can't you look on the screen in front of you and tell me what plan I am on? How much am I paying per month? And she kept on going, well, now the medium plan is this a month and the large plan is this. And I said, what does it say in front of you? In my accounts, how much am I paying? She had no idea. No idea in the world. And I started going through analogies. I'm saying, if you subscribe to a newspaper and you ask the guy how much a month is that, what would he say?
He'd tell you.
He would tell you. She was hopeless. And then I rang another woman. Hopeless. And I'm just putting it down to that. I just rang at 11 o'clock at night. I'm just putting it down to that. They just got the cleaner. I don't know. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. It wasn't a very good experience. But anyway, look, got on to the guys that did the moving team. They were pretty good. They sorted me out. I just told them, look, mate, this is what I want, blah, blah, blah. They said, no worries, we'll get it done. So they were good. So anyway, I'm up and running. So that's good. I got another story. How about I got a couple with PayPal.
Yes, tell me about PayPal.
This is awesome.
Reading PayPal. About this the other day, but I wasn't... quite sure what they meant.
Okay, well, this is maybe I'll get to what I think you're thinking about, but in a minute. But anyway, PayPal has made closing online sales easier. Well, yay. PayPal is expanding its one-touch payment product to 13 new markets in Europe and Australia, bringing a simpler checkout to online shoppers and merchants. So that's all good. Apparently they did some research and they figured out that people don't like punching in their name and address every time they buy something. Fair enough, I say. Existing PayPal users can opt into One Touch once and then no longer be required to enter their billing and shipping information into shopping apps or websites that support PayPal in the checkouts. Merchants that already accept PayPal will see One Touch automatically enabled. A smoother shopping experience is crucial to online retailers as they often blame the high rates of unfinished or abandoned online sales on the tiring process of re-entering payment information. PayPal said the One Touch program had left a 50% or greater improvement in conversion rate. So that's all good. So that's a good thing. So if you've got an online shop or whatever, try and suss out this, get involved in this One Touch. Now, this is the one I think you're talking about, Eric. And I think Will's already crossed this like butter on a corn cob. It's the PayPal.me. Your what do they call them? The vanity links, if you will. So you can create your own PayPal.me page and link. So if you want someone to give you some money, you just your PayPal address, oh, well, PayPal me. So I set up paypal.me/Glenn Goodman. And then if you add 25 at the end of that, then they click on the link. It takes them straight to their PayPal, $25, all set up. Nice, away you go.
What are PayPal charge now? So how much of that $25 would they take?
Oh, they'd probably take 30 cents, isn't it, for the...
Account type depends if you've got a personal account or a business account. Depends on a few different things, but yeah.
Maybe...
Well, assume business account.
Well, maybe... Look, I don't know off the top of my head, but I don't think it'd be any more than, say, 3% plus 30 cents.
Right. Something like that. So, but don't forget, too, that they do charge when you transfer from PayPal to a bank account.
Yes.
So if you transfer from PayPal to PayPal, or you get money into PayPal, then pay with PayPal, you don't pay that fee. But if you want to take the money from PayPal and put it into a bank account, you pay a transaction fee as well.
Mm.
How much is that?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure because I don't do that. I don't work it like that because I...
How do you do yours, Glenn? When I pay you, PayPal page comes up.
Yes.
Using my American Express card. So how much do you pay for that?
Yeah, it'll be, what is it, 30 cents plus the, plus, say, 3% or whatever.
And it goes straight to your normal bank account?
No, it goes straight into my PayPal account.
Right.
Yep.
And then if I want to take that money physically, well, then they'll charge me, again, maybe 1%.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to take it out. But, I don't take it out.
Yeah.
I accrue it and pay other things with the PayPal.
So you can pay an electricity bill with PayPal, for example.
Whatever.
So if they accept it, you can pay it.
Yes. So
And you don't get charged for that.
No.
If you want to pay a bill with your PayPal account, you don't get charged for that.
No.
If you put money into my account from your PayPal account and not
PayPal.
That's right. If you went into your PayPal account and actually gave me $50 through PayPal, you won't pay a transaction fee. Right. But if it comes from your bank account via PayPal into my PayPal account through one of those merchant services, whether it's PayPal Me or PayMate or any of those, that's when I pay the fee.
Yes, right.
But okay, I guess at the end of the day, if you're running a business, I think PayPal would work out a bit cheaper than a merchant facility. Well, for a smaller business, it would, because you don't have the you would have a merchant facility. I would imagine, Eric, you'd be paying.
Yeah, I do.
Like a monthly service fee,
I get charged. Let me tell you how much I get charged.
You'd be getting charged at, say, the 3% or whatever it is on volume.
I get charged $25 a month for the merchant facility. You know, the machine and all that crap, right?
Yeah.
Plus, 1.4.
Depends how much you push through it.
On Visa and MasterCard, I pay 2.2 on American Express.
Yeah, and you also pay another different rate on a debit card.
Debit card, I don't know. Well, not many people have paid me with debit cards, so I really couldn't tell you, to be honest.
Look, I think at the end of the day, you're not getting charged a $25 a month.
A lot of people pay me at Amex because they love the points.
Yeah, right.
Well, we don't take Amex at work because it's like $5 or something on top of the fee. But I love the PayPal here because of that. For small business, I think PayPal is a really good, smart option.
Mm.
Given, the money goes into your PayPal account and 80% of that money will go out of your PayPal account to other PayPal. Like most of that transaction, you won't actually have to withdraw the money from that account.
So whether you need to collect money from friends or get paid by a customer, just send them your PayPal.me URL. Your friends simply click the link on any device, enter the amount, log into their PayPal account, and they're done. The money will be in your PayPal account in seconds. So look,
I tell you, we used this the other day. My nephew's on prepaid, and he was down the coast, and his wallet got flogged, and he had no money for his recharge. So he texted me and said, can you send me money? So I just threw $50 on he's got a PayPal me as well. And I think on Sunday we did it. This is the first day it came out. It must have been Saturday or Sunday.
Mm.
And I threw $50 on that. And because he still had his phone, he could still access his PayPal. He could pay for his phone recharge.
How did you pay for things? How can you pay for things on your phone?
Well, through via PayPal.
Yeah. Oh, right. So okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So that's pretty good, because what the alternative before the PayPal me was, what you'd have to pretty much generate some sort of invoice or whatever, send to the person.
If you go, yeah. both got a PayPal account, you can just transfer the money based on the email address.
Oh, yeah. But this makes it a lot easier.
Yep.
Yeah. So, look, my PayPal.me address is paypal.me/GlennGoodman1000. So have a go. Test it out.
How much money you want. Didn't you say if you put a number on the end of it, that's how much you're sending to someone? I see. I've figured you out.
I know. I'll work you out. Yeah.
Mine's William Tomkinson 999.
Nice. Nice.
You can add a 9 to mine on top of that.
Yeah. Right at the end. Okay. That's good. I'll see those little these little things. I'll share that graphic. Now, people on the audio obviously can't hear. But that little black PayPal Here device down in the bottom right. Yes. The new one's coming out, apparently. They're going to be the touch ones. So, you know, swipe. Yeah. You don't have to insert or whatever. You touch them, like at the petrol station. You just touch it.
That's what the PayMate, what's it called? The
PayWave, whatever it is.
No. The other PayPal.
Does PayPal have a debit card you can use at a, and just, you know what I mean? Like, do they have ATM cards, PayPal?
No,
access your money that way?
Not in Australia. No.
They have it in the States, as far as I know. I've seen them.
Mm. I was looking at, I did Google that because I was interested in, I want to get a credit card that I don't have to pay a stupid foreign currency tax on every time you buy something on a credit card from
overseas. My BankWest one's like that.
Who, what?
BankWest one.
Yes, they're the ones I'm looking at, actually. Yeah.
What do you mean your BankWest one? How does that work?
BankWest card. It's one of those premium cards you get, and they just don't charge you. So long as you've got X dollars a month put into that account, whether you transfer it out or not, doesn't matter. Then you don't get charged fees for monthly fee or annual fee. You also don't get charged foreign transaction fees, which was annoying me because I buy stuff from eBay and things.
Yeah, pretty bad.
ING's got that. I've got an ING one like that.
Well, the NAB charge.
Card, aren't they? On the credit card.
Yours the same one as you got the same one, haven't you, Will? The ING one?
Yeah, they only do a debit card though.
Yeah, it's just debit card, yeah. Yours is a credit card, is it, BankWest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But remember, like, I would have thought that, you know, the fee was incorporated into the exchange rate. That's why there's a buy and a sell.
Could be, yeah.
And now, there wasn't enough for them. Every time you buy something overseas, there's an extra 3%.
The thing I like about them is now they're
bought. Not on American Express, there isn't.
Now they've been owned by Commonwealth Bank. You can get out of any of those ATMs, but they got the Hero account, which is what I use, and they have like 4% on a general transaction account or two or something, whereas the other ones have got 0.01% on a transaction account. And then there's the Zero account, which means that you don't pay any ATM fees on any ATM at about 8 or 9 different banks.
Oh, yeah.
See, the ING is great because if you pay, you don't pay transaction fees at all. If you do get charged the $2.50 or $2.90 or $3.10 that I paid today, you actually get that back instantly anyway, so it doesn't matter. And the thing with ING, I've been talking to a mate of mine's works for them now. It's just started, but he's in their marketing, and he said they're currently working on a credit card, and they're currently working on a small business loan, a small business package, which they've never done. So knowing what they do, like, because at the moment I don't pay monthly fees, I don't pay transaction fees, I get 4% back on PayWave transactions. If I give someone my code, they get $75 bonus. Well, we both get $75 bonus in our accounts if they sign up and put $500 in. There's a whole heap of, you know, advantages to being with ING. The biggest disadvantage is no branches. So if you need to deposit cash or checks, you've got to go to a post office.
Well, I don't deposit checks at the ING. It's just
cash.
They're looking at integrating a photographic check anyway, where you just take a photo of the check and they approve it.
Mm. And the only other disadvantage of ING is if you want the money out, don't you have to transfer it into a normal bank account first?
No.
and then
take it? Oh, you can go to an ATM.
Oh, okay. Okay. ING. It's been a while since I've had anything to do with them.
Well, the ATM, there's no ATM fees on ING, and it doesn't matter which bank you're at.
If you want cash out, if you want $5,000 out, you just go to a post office and get $5,000 out.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Okay. Whose turn is it? Who wants a story? Anybody? Jace.
Anyone? Bueller?
Optus is now delivering carrier aggregation on three separate mobile networks to Melbourne customers with two of Samsung's new model smartphones. The telco started piloting the 3XCA technology last month using one FDD frequency division duplexing and two TDD time division duplexing networks in the Newcastle area. It said it achieved mobile data download speeds of 317 megabits per second. Optus is currently the only local telco using TDD technology. Following the Melbourne go live, Optus plans to switch on the 3XCA technology in the Sydney Central Business District early next year, followed later by Brisbane and Adelaide CBDs. The technology will work with Category 9 devices such as Samsung's Galaxy S6 Edge Plus and Galaxy Note 5 devices, which become available this Friday. 2XCA is already available on the Optus 4G plans network in selected areas of Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, Canberra, Hobart and Darwin, as well as 20 major regional centres.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to need fixed line and NBN now?
Well, I got rid of my fixed line. Saved me $20 a month, so
yep.
Yeah, see you later. It
comes free with NBN now. Over it's all VoIP now, so...
Oh, that's a question I was going to ask you, totally unrelated to anything, and no one will even really care. But you know those 1-300 numbers, Will?
Yep.
Is there much lag on those?
Not generally. Occasionally, you will. You'll get a bad day where they're just having bad internet, but they're hooked up to a trunk line, so for most part, no. You don't have any... No worse than Skype, put it that way.
If you didn't hear what she says, you can just get her to repeat it again.
Well, I didn't.
What kind of 1-300 numbers are we talking about?
Well, the 1-300 numbers.
Yeah, baby.
Well, I got the Skype number, but there's too much lag on it. Like, it's not good. I don't like it.
Skype's not great, but that 1-300 that I was telling you about, it's about Skype lag, like maybe half a second, usually quarter of a second or less.
Yeah, okay. I might have to look into that. All right, Will, have you got any stories?
Yeah, I've got a few. Periscopes.
Yes.
Now, we all know that those things attached to a submarine. They're also a live streaming broadcast service that you can stream from mobiles and tablets and that sort of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Two guys from Sacramento, they started a real-life gangster flick about the world's dumbest criminals. Damon Batson and Carlos Gonzalez, of course, were arrested after using the live streaming app Periscope to broadcast a bungled home invasion. Oh. The two wanted gangsters started the
idiots.
Going to ride over there to see what we can do. Where were they headed? They were heading to the house of a gentleman who had been sleeping with one of his girlfriends, of course. The broadcast started to gain popularity as the duo allegedly detailed the vague plans to hurt the man. During the stream, Gonzalez could be seen brandishing a handgun as he told viewers he wouldn't be able to show them everything, alluding to the potential violence that was about to ensue. When they arrived at the apartment, the pair was shown knocking on the door as they lured the victim outside. Stop being a scaredy. Open the door. And this is what I don't understand. They've got, tell that effing, which I get, F-dash-dash-dash-dash-G. Then the next word is W-dash-dash-E. To come out, they could be heard saying. So I have no idea what that second word was. Weenie? I don't know.
Wank?
There's a word they call someone.
Yeah,
to come outside.
Yeah, some American derogatory term, no doubt.
Sounds like housos.
Yeah.
Realizing neither the man nor his girlfriend were in the apartment, he'd be stand over man for their merry way. But before finishing the broadcast, Gonzalez discharged a weapon from the moving vehicle to prove the viewers it was authentic. It was the perfect crime.
Fading.
Until the Sacramento police were tipped off to the broadcast, which stays live on the service for 24 hours after broadcasting. After reviewing the footage and conducting the search warrant in his apartment, police arrested Gonzalez. His partner in crime was later booked while driving in the area. And when arrested, police searched his car and found the gun they believe was used in the movie. Gonzalez was charged with suspicion of gross negligence. Wow. with suspicion of gross negligent discharge of a firearm and possession of a loaded gun in public.
Just suspicion.
Allegedly.
It's like, I don't know if you watch Gold Coast Cops. There was one episode the other week where the coppers, you know, they busted into the house and they secured the house, grabbed this drug lord's phone, and they started just looking through the phone. Because the guy goes, oh, we don't have any pot here, or we don't have any drugs here, blah, blah, blah. So the cop is looking through the phone, and then all of a sudden there's this video of old mate, like, just like, kneading all this pound of mull. It's going on, and then he's fiddling with his titties like this.
They take photos of it.
Yes, and they videoed it, and then and the coppers saw it. The coppers were laughing. They go, you're an idiot.
Speaking of stupid people, I saw today there was a news report about this young guy who took a photo, a selfie of himself holding onto this gun and then accidentally shot himself in the head and died.
Oh,
it's like yo, I'm tough.
It's like that idiot in the US put the firecracker on his head and let it off and it killed him. And there was I was watching some show last night with the kids on Fox 8, 24 Stupid Things to Do or something. And this guy put a can of drink on his head, and then his old mate had a paintball gun. And so obviously doing the William Tell thing. Yep. And fired it and got him right at the base of the eye.
Like, idiot.
No. Like, fair. If that was like 2 mils higher.
That show's called Jackass.
It would have gone would have gone into his brain. But anyway, let's keep going. Jace.
Okay. Wikipedia says it's blocked more than 300 accounts being used by people who are paid to create or tweak entries on the communally sourced online encyclopedia. Weeks of investigation revealed 381 accounts were being used at the English version of Wikipedia for black hat editing, in which people take money to promote outside interests without disclosing they're on someone's payroll. Oh. Wikipedia is powered mostly by volunteers and bars paid advocacy that is not disclosed, such as in the case of museums or universities having employees tune entries related to exhibits or institutions. Neutrality is the key to ensuring Wikipedia's quality, Ed Erhardt and Juliet Barbara of the non-profit Wikimedia Foundation said on Wednesday. Although it does not happen often, undisclosed paid advocacy editing may represent a serious conflict of interest and could compromise the quality of content on Wikipedia. Along with blocking the 381 sock puppet accounts, Wikipedia editors deleted 210 articles created by people using those accounts. There was a potential for more entries to be removed as the investigation continued. Most of these articles, which were related to businesses, business people, or artists, were generally promotional in nature and often included biased or skewed information, unattributed material, and potential copyright violations. The edits made by the sock puppets are similar enough that the community believes they were perpetrated by one coordinated group. The accounts identified during the investigation were used from the end of April to early August, but the nature and quality of evidence suggested that the paid scheme was operating for some time before being discovered, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, look, Wikipedia, I think everyone would use that. Everyone use Wikipedia?
Yep.
It's high in the Google search results, isn't it?
It's a good place to start, but you never rely on it highly.
No, you're probably right, because of its changing and editable nature.
I mean, it's a good reference point, but you'd
have to say 90% would probably be right, wouldn't you?
It's pretty good. Did you know that clicking on the first link in the main text of a Wikipedia article and repeating it for all the articles eventually gets to philosophy?
Well, it's better than what used to happen with the old Encarta. Remember Microsoft Encarta?
Yeah.
The one that CD and had the really dodgy video links?
Yeah.
Microsoft had a little Easter egg in that. And after a while, no matter what link you started with, if you continued to click the links all the way through, you would end up with sex. Every time.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yep. Oh. That's just one of those little things.
I think I might have an Encarta hanging around here somewhere.
Oh, probably still. God.
I could never be out.
Probably not.
Along with everything else in his house now. He just leaves everything in cling wrap forever and then you never have to worry.
Then I don't have to pack it when I move. That's
right. Doesn't get dusty, doesn't break.
Yeah, true.
If you want to check out Wikipedia, you can start with a search to sort of get the ball rolling, you could look up like dihydrogen monoxide. So look that up and see what it gives you.
Okay, I can't even spell it.
On Facebook, I use that one.
Warlock would be the only other one who knows what dihydrogen monoxide is.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a dangerous substance. It kills people. It's in a lot of, you know, dangerous chemicals and things.
It's in everything. It's really bad. Can't
get it from it.
Now you would
and it crops and everything.
You would have noticed through the week that Google has changed its logo.
Yes,
and it made
that
it
was
too.
Weird. I hate it.
Yeah, it looks a bit
action thing.
Looks Bruce a bit logo ever.
Looks a bit Sesame Street-y. Yeah. Like the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, it does a bit.
The hand that comes up and rubs off the old one and draws on the new.
But I don't mind the G logo. Like when you see it abbreviated as just the multicolored G.
It's in the fav icon.
Yeah, as soon as I look at it, I know it's Google. Like, I don't need to be told.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of the actual Google logo, if you actually click on the Google, if you go back to Google logo throughout the years and what it was, because they keep a list of everything that's ever been, and it's very reminiscent of their very early ones, actually.
Yeah, so they've changed the colours. Not the colours, the font. They've taken the serifs off, and they've changed the G. So, it's not really going to wreck my world, but I suppose we'll get used to it. It's the biggest logo redesign since 1999. People have likened the typeface to that used in a children's book. Oh, there you go. I thought it was a bit Sesame Street-y.
Yeah, there you go. Infantile, yeah. I think the word is.
Yes, that's how this article has described it. It's infantilized. And
if you look on my screen there, that's the first logo they had in 1998. That's how it started.
Yep.
And then they changed it, you know, they changed it over the time. 1999, they streamlined
it. That's the better one.
2010, they flattened it out. 2013, they changed it. That and all of, I mean, it's almost like the original logo when they first started, really. I like that G, though. That's cool.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
You look at the first logo, it's almost the same.
Well, someone's going to be scrubbing that off the windows. They're going to have to redo the windows at Google head office.
Yeah. Alphabet.
Yeah, what's going on with that? But anyway. Alphabet.
Dumbest name ever.
Alphabet soup. You got the Play School lettering. Now, Google's also Google is to pause Flash-based adverts. So this is just another nail in the coffin.
Just
for Flash.
About don't show them at all. Adblock.
Yeah, Google's. Oh, I was listening to you guys carrying on about Adblock too. Google's Chrome browser will start blocking some internet adverts that use Adobe's Flash technology. This week, Google said it had taken a step to help web pages load faster and preserve the battery life of mobile devices. It has introduced tools that help people convert Flash adverts to ones that use an alternative technology. Many people and companies have turned against Flash in recent months, saying it slowed down web browsing. Apparently, Google AdWords is no longer serving up Flash ads. They're being auto-converted to HTML5. In early July, Firefox has put a stop to showing Flash material.
Less flashing on the internet's got to be good, right?
That'd be a good thing.
It has to be.
You can get a degree from it. What's it called? Scholarship from flashing on the internet.
Oh, right.
You'd know.
Did you get a free trench coat with that? With that course?
I got a story about that.
Now, Flash. So Apple was the first to start kicking this off, weren't they?
Yeah, they were at least 5 years now.
Yeah, when Steve Jobs was still around, he didn't like Flash.
I hated Flash. He said it just clogs everything. Well, he was right. It clogs everything. Yeah. The battery life on Android phones is shocking when you're running Flash.
Mm. But Flash is going just about gone. Will, you got any more?
I've got a few. Just quickly too, there is we talk a lot about Firefox and Chrome being the main two that we use, but there are plenty of other options as well, depending on your application. So don't just assume that it's other ones. There's things like SeaMonkey, which is sort of a predecessor to Firefox, almost went on a different path. Pale Moon, Water Fox, those sort of things. So, you know, find a browser that suits you, that you're happy with, the plugins, do what you want to do, that sort of stuff as well. So, you know, it's entirely up to you what you want to use. But, yeah, as I was saying, speaking of making money from flashing on the internet, Pornhub, you know, the whole reason the internet was sort of made anyway.
Don't know what you're talking about.
There's no other reason it was invented.
What he do oh, after?
Didn't they invent it for some porn and then, like, some government army wanted it or something?
Yeah, something
like that. It's the other way around, mate.
Decides the technology. That's why they go with the different DVD.
I don't think the DVD brain surgeons of the porn industry invented the internet somehow. Yes.
I don't know. I reckon they had a good hand in the...
Yeah, they were making money hand over fist.
Anyway. What?
Pornhub is one of the most popular pornography sites in the world, apparently. I wouldn't know. Never, I don't know. But and now it's making an offer to students that many would find hard to refuse. Pornhub.com is offering a $25,000 US college scholarship for an American student. It was formerly called the Pornhub Cares Scholarship. Apparently, they weren't allowed to call it that. Applicants for the scholarships must write a 1,500-word essay answering the following question. How do you strive to make others happy? They also want you to submit
Pornhub
that elaborates on the good work that you do and anything else you might want to say.
Hey, what's the bet that, you know, hand on heart, money on the table, they'll pick a girl?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The adult entertainment website currently has 78.9 billion videos.
Wow. Wow. It's a lot.
That's a lot.
You better get started, mate.
I think that's probably, you know, tackling YouTube's numbers there.
Yeah, there's
the motives. The generous financial offer have already come under fire, with scholarship being criticised potentially as a deceptive marketing tactic. You reckon?
Duh.
Dawn Hawkins, executive director of the National Centre of Sexual Exploitation, told the Washington Post, "An amazing and deceptive marketing tactic aimed at poor students. A lot of younger people realise the consequences and harm of pornography."
These same people are the ones that have got people in their basement. Don't you reckon? It's always the ones that are so staunch and they're so angry and they're so passionate about, "Oh, get rid of bloody human trafficking," and then they're the ones that get busted every time.
We'll go feed young Jimmy in the cellar.
Yeah.
Okay.
As soon as the camera's gone.
Yes. Facebook owned image sharing platform Instagram is allowing 300 million users to post landscape portrait videos for the first time. Do we care?
What? No, move on.
What?
So apparently you couldn't post landscape videos. You could only post the square images.
Oh, well, that is important, I suppose. Landscape is much better to watch.
Yeah. Until now, images shared via Instagram could only be uploaded in a square format. Now, Disney and Star Wars has already taken advantage of the change to upload a landscape-orientated teaser video. So there you go.
I'm not sure what's worse here, the fact that you could only upload portrait videos because...
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Fantastic to watch. Or the fact that it's taken them this long to realise that they could only upload portrait videos.
I never liked that.
See a portrait video, I just want to reach through the monitor and grab the phone. Dude, this way.
On the news on TV. They got video footage from someone's done it on their iPhone and then they blur it out this way behind it.
Actually, YouTube now, actually, speaking of not going flash anymore, the new YouTube GUI is pretty schmick, actually, but they're implementing a new system. If you've recorded in portrait, they actually will automatically... through digital enhancement, they'll actually drop and crop and resize it back to landscape so that you still get full screen.
Yeah, right. You must be missing... It's not going to be perfect 16:9.
It wouldn't be, but it'd be closer than what it is.
Well, speaking of YouTube, they've launched their gaming... whatever you want to call it. YouTube gaming
platform.
Yeah, platform. that sounds like a good word, doesn't it? Now, I've got a... Do I have a little picture for that? Oh, yes, I do. There we go. Look, I'll show everyone who's watching the video a picture.
Probably so. I'm thinking.
YouTube Gaming is a dedicated app and website focusing exclusively on gaming content with a greater emphasis on live streams. One expert said YouTube was fighting back against rivals such as Twitch and Daily Motion. Is Daily Motion a threat? I don't know. Not for gaming stuff. Yeah,
I mean, it's for live streaming, but.
All right. Who else has got one? I got one more.
I've looked at this live one, and I was playing with it the other night, trying to connect to it, and it does something really funky with the stream. I haven't quite figured out the settings.
It did do something funky with the stream. What?
It did. What happened?
It's bad timing. How'd you do that?
Group video is unavailable. All right, who hasn't paid?
Everyone's video has gone.
What?
No, you need Skype Premium to make a group video call, it says on mine.
What?
Oh, that is such a load of...
An hour and a bit into it, we get messages saying we can't do a group chat.
Yeah. An hour 16.
Right, log in, log off.
No, you're all coming back.
Coming back up.
Yeah,
you should put the camera back on.
Will doesn't.
Will won't, but that's all right.
Will's the one that they want to pay.
Yeah,
Glenn hasn't come up for me, but anyway.
Glenn hasn't come back up.
You got to click on the... Yeah, there we go. Right. The YouTube gaming one. Yeah, it does something really weird with the formatting, and I think it's a little bit away from being... It doesn't have the chat room capabilities and stuff just yet. Like, it will, I think, potentially be a good thing, but at the moment... Oops, sorry. Ooh. At the moment, it's a little bit... awkward. It's not just doesn't just work like Twitch just works.
Mm.
They've got to work on that, but I think it'll be good.
Mm. You're
I'm
nothing
getting busy
but
looking at Will.
Yeah, I know. You're going round and around and around. Jace, did you have any more stories?
Yeah, an Australian startup is helping rural communities get off the grid using floating solar rafts that sit atop water reservoirs. Infratech Industries, based in Sydney, has erected a 300-kilogram floating solar array in Jamestown, South Australia, roughly 2 hours south of Adelaide, which it claims generates 57% more energy than rooftop solar and can deliver consumers 10 to 15% saving on black energy. With four more arrays in the pipeline, a United States subsidiary and plans to expand to Europe and Indonesia, the company wants to use embedded generation to help communities develop their own infrastructure and power source. The array is made up of 112 solar panels that move with the sun, allowing it to soak up more sunlight and generate more energy for more hours in the day. The company also deploys a process called concentration, whereby mirrors are attached to each solar panel. The mirrors increase the amount of light hitting the panels, doubling the energy it creates compared to rooftop solar. According to Professor David Lewis, director of Flinders University's Center for Nanoscale Science and Technology, who supports the company's claim of delivering 57% more energy than rooftop solar. What I've been looking at the data that comes from a system like this at the site, he said. That's how I'm comfortable saying we've got about twice the power output for the light intensity that was hitting the panels. Flinders University, which is not an investor in the solar array project, is playing a technical support role, assisting with material selection and assemblage to ensure maximum power efficiency. The problem with rooftop solar systems is they lose efficiency with increasing heat. You're not normally going to have a fountain on your roof to cool them down. To cool the panels, you need water, which makes water reservoirs a perfect location for solar array. The water from the reservoirs is treated through a series of nanofilters, making it safe to use to cool the panels. The company provides the excess treated water to communities in Jamestown and surrounds.
I don't have solar on the new house.
I don't want it.
Why not?
It makes your house look shit.
I thought that was installing the NBN does that.
Yeah, well, that too.
I don't look at the roof.
So as you can see there with the picture I've got up, they're putting it on.
You're circling.
Fine, the people in the stream can see it because they're not lame. but basically, they set them up on dams and things like that, and it does two things. One is, as I said, it keeps the panels cooler, so they're more efficient when they're cooler. But it actually stops evaporation as well. So a lot of these massive dams and lakes and water treatment and reservoir and things like that suffer from really bad evaporation. And this obviously helps that because it's covering like 90% of the surface of the water. The downside they're doing is they're putting mirrors on it, which, okay, yes, it increases the output of the panels, but a double increase, so by reflecting the light through either a Fresnel lens or... through mirrors, which they're using in this case, It doubles the power output, but it quarters the life of the panel. So instead of a panel lasting 20 years at nominal, it's now going to last 5. So, okay, you're doubling your output, but you're quartering the efficiency, the life. That's sort of...
Well, how does that work? Well, doubling the output, yeah, losing the efficiency of it, the lifespan, I don't know.
What happens is it overheats the panels. Even though they're going to be water-cooled, they're still going to get hotter than our panels designed to get hot because you're magnifying the light. But, of course, the way you're magnifying sunlight. So not only are you magnifying the light, you're magnifying the heat. And it's the heat that, in the long run, damages the panels.
There's no easy way for this free energy, is there? It's all hard.
Well, there's no such thing as free energy is a really bad term, but there's energy supplementation that can be done quite simply, but they just haven't seemed to figure it out.
I saw
people have it.
I saw they're looking into wave technology.
Oh, yeah. God, they've done that to death.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah.
Well, it's simple, it's cheap.
Your arm gets a bit tired after a while, though. That's the problem.
It does.
Speaking of energy and electric and all that rubbish, I've seen 6 Teslas in my suburb in the last 3 weeks.
Cool.
Right.
Well, they come right now.
Well, and not really. 117,000 for a basic.
That's the new one. But a lot of people are buying them secondhand now because the people who got the first model want the second model, which has just come out.
But how far do you get off a charge?
520 kilometres.
Yeah.
Just like a tank of petrol, basically.
In main cities, there's plenty of recharge stations, so it's not really a problem.
Remember a couple of years ago, Joseph called in, he bought some sort of electric car. He was only getting 100 kilometres.
Are you listening, Joseph? Sorry, I'm going to say this, but... I like you. I think you're a decent human being, but that car was a load of crap.
Was it the Leaf or the iMev?
It was a Leaf. It was a Leaf.
Was that Mitsubishi or something? Yeah, hey. I don't know. But it was 100K and it ran out.
That was only designed to drive to work and back.
Yeah.
That was a
true. You better hope your work wasn't 101 kilometres away.
Well, but don't forget, though, the Tesla's designed as a replacement vehicle. It's designed as your primary vehicle. Whereas the iMevs, the Leafs, those sort of things are just designed as a commuter vehicle around town. They're designed for places like China and Japan and England, where you live fairly close to the town centre and the town centres are fairly congested. The Prius fills the...
Or if you have a two-car family and the wife just goes down the road and drops the kids off or goes to her work not far.
Let me give you a tip. No wife of mine's driving a bloody Tesla.
But... Then you got the things like the Prius and the Camry Hybrid, which fill that gap. My nephew's got a Prius, and he can do 1,100 Ks on a tank of fuel. You know, and it's a 30-litre tank. So...
Yeah, that's not bad. That's all right.
I don't mind the hybrids. They're better. They're getting better and better, the hybrids. BMW coming out with one soon that might tickle my fancy.
Yeah. Well,
BMW... One Mercedes is
Mercedes is coming out one as well.
All European vehicles have to, because as of the new Euro standards, all major car manufacturers have to have a hybrid option. To be able to continue to produce cars, they have to have an electric or a hybrid option. It's mandated now.
Yeah, that's why I don't like the Europeans, bloody greeny wankers.
But the funny thing is, like a Prius, first gen Prius. We'll do over 1,000,000 Ks, no trouble, other than replacing the battery pack in it, which is now $2,000 instead of $20,000 when they come out. You'll have no problems for over 1,000,000 Ks. Yet the hybrid Camry is actually, that was their attempt at making the car cheaper in terms of construction, but it's come back and bite them in the ass because the hybrid Camrys are only good for about 200,000 before they start falling apart. So.
That's still a few miles, over 1,000,000. That's all right.
200,000 Ks. Who would keep a car that long?
Well, the taxis keep them for 500,000.
Yeah.
I keep mine. I'll run mine round.
Really?
Yeah.
500,000.
4 years, mate, I get rid of my car. It's a pain in the ass.
Well, this is my last contribution for this week because time is getting away. The Telstra TV Roku box is delayed. How sad. I'm actually excited about this. I'll probably go and buy one on release, and it's delayed. The Telstra TV is actually Where is it? Blah, 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 blah. That's a rebadged Roku 2 box. We brought this up a couple of weeks ago, I think. But look, it's only been delayed till October, apparently. They've confirmed that that what the problem was, it wasn't because of the hardware or the software or anything like that. It's because they're planning on bringing the box out with, obviously, plans, subscription plans. But everything's so complicated, they haven't had enough time to massage the plans, to work them all out. So it's the plan working out that is taking the time. But anyway, push back to October. So for those of you who don't know, the Telstra TV box is a rebadged Roku product, as I just said, that will eventually bring Netflix, Stan and Presto into the one box. So those streaming services should also sit alongside the Big Pond Movie Store. So hopefully, I would hope and hope that they won't be reduced or restricted in any other functionality than the normal Roku box, because that's got a lot of apps. Jason's got one. There's a lot of apps, haven't they, Roku box?
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of unofficial channels that anyone can just make up and advertise online. You can just add it onto the Roku box. I do. I've done a bit of training with IT Pro TV. I signed up with them, and you can watch that on the Roku box on their channel and find out how to become MSCA or whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, look, I'm actually excited about the Telstra TV thingy, boxy thing. But, looks like I'll be getting an iPhone and one of these boxes.
Oh, you're on fire, mate.
I am on fire. I am. Yeah.
The iPhone does Netflix, so epic win.
But not Flash.
No.
Okay,
but Netflix doesn't use Flash.
No.
On the iPhone. It does HTML5.
So don't watch Stan or something.
All right. Anyone else got any last stories?
All right. I'm gonna order a Tesla. The January delivery, $123,000.
Nice.
Is that the Roadster or the family one?
That is the rear-wheel drive Tesla Model X.
That's X. The family one.
X.
Father's Day, Eric.
That's the dearer one. There is a cheaper version.
The Model S, yeah, I'll tell you what the Model S is. Well, that was the Model S. Maybe that was the Model S. Yeah, that was the Model S.
So I'm not going to go into full detail. I'm just going to say go and check out popcorntime.io. If you like Netflix, you're going to love Popcorn Time.
Popcorn, yeah.
Yeah, that's the fake Netflix, isn't it?
It's the pirate Netflix.
Not touching it.
Oh, you got to pay for it or what?
No.
Pay. Pay?
That's great.
Okay, download. Hard to believe. Open Popcorn Time, select the media, select quality and subtitles, click and enjoy. A whole new way to watch. Oh, how is this allowed?
It won't be. They'll shut that down. And don't forget.
It's not, but it's been going for a very long time.
But Big Pond are starting to record IP addresses now, so
that's why I'm not with Big Pond.
Well, everyone's doing it. IONET have been mandated to do it.
But you can't get in trouble for streaming something.
I don't know how they're going to track your streaming. You're not downloading.
Particularly if you've got a VPN.
VPN,
if you've got a VPN, you're all clear.
Is streaming as bad as downloading?
Because their whole point is stuff like BitTorrent is you're sharing it out and enabling others.
Yes.
Not that you're stealing. They're not so worried about the stealing. It's if enabling others with BitTorrent, enabling others by downloading a movie, burning it, and then selling it for a dollar or a DVD or something. That's what they're always worried about. They're not so worried, I don't think, about you just getting a copy yourself.
So how do they make money, these guys, do you reckon?
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Selling pop
VC.
But why?
No, I think they might get some ads on there, I'd reckon.
Yeah. It's not a bad little website. Pretty informative. All right, cool.
Speaking of VPNs, this is a story I meant to find at the start of the show, but I couldn't find it. It's literally taken me all show to find this. There's a ISP that started in New Zealand. And I still can't find the name of it, but basically what they are, they're an ISP.
Yeah. I forgot
they've
that one.
Come to Australia, and they actually have VPN built in to the ISP, so you don't need to run one. As soon as you connect to your ISP, you're automatically punched through a VPN.
That's the go. What's that called?
I don't know. I'm trying to find it. I've been. I know it was in this month's APC magazine, which I would have
Slingshot.
Is that it?
Yep. Slingshot has made a lot easier for customers to access television movie streaming websites like Netflix and BBC iPlayer that are normally blocked by this country's internet users.
Slingshot, okay. I'll type that in there and I'll suss that one out. Look, just before we go, Slingshot. Just going back quickly to the popcorn because I can see what they're doing. See this little line here? So downloading copyright material may be illegal in your country. Use at your own risk because Popcorn Time streams movies and TV shows from torrents. So somehow...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so it must download the torrents somehow into a cache and then play it. So
well, that's what it is. A torrent is a file that's in multiple pieces. All it does is combine them and plays it.
Yes. So it's not like it's streaming from an Amazon server somewhere.
Or an Akamai server.
Yeah, it's actually, so it's a torrent. So anyway, check that out if that's what you're...
Thing that I found about it says Popcorn Time has no funding, gets run out of the pockets of a small community behind it and no business model.
Yeah, well,
just a bunch of people who are donating their money.
Nice.
Yeah, same principle with Linux. It's, you know, just one of those things that it always exists because people want it to exist.
Yep.
So yeah. So check out Popcorn Time, and if you're afraid to use it, go and sign up with slingshotis.com. Go and sign up with them, and then use Popcorn.
All right, just a disclaimer. We do not encourage the illegal download or streaming of videos. At least some of us I don't. My name's Eric Franco, and I've got nothing to do with these blokes.
The team behind the original Popcorn Time insisted they had checked four times with lawyers that their service was legal.
Oh, yeah.
Which lawyers? Damn. The ones in Colombia?
Yeah.
No. What they're offering is legal. They are not offering a legal service. It's the same as a BitTorrent. A BitTorrent is not illegal. It entirely comes down to what particular use that you want to do with that.
The sites aren't really illegal, and neither is the software. It's what you do with it.
That's right.
Yeah, luckily,
I think that's a little bit grey.
Yeah, I think Hollywood the lawyer
studios begin suing Popcorn Time users. There you go.
I think the lawyer that they asked was Saul started. Goodman.
Who was the lawyer? Some bloke out of Goodfellas.
Yeah. The Better Call Saul.
Good lawyer. They said it was their lawyer.
Well, true. All right, let's get out of here. Unless anyone's got the really important stuff. That's it?
That's it.
Good. No, that was actually my brain for the entire show trying to remember the name of that ISP.
Was it Slingshot?
Yeah.
Slingshot.
Oh. I Googled New Zealand ISP VPN and it got a list.
I Googled it and all I got was a bunch of Slingshots.
I got everything but that.
Maybe your Bart Simpson.
you guys can't see those pictures, can you? But anyway.
I actually read APC Mag this month because I was waiting for Sonia at the hospital for 3 hours yesterday, and it was in there. And that's what, and I would have had the magazine had I have had my car, had I have not tried to get the brakes fixed. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, check out Slingshot. Check out Popcorn at your own risk. We've got nothing to do with us if you get busted.
Highly recommended by Eric.
We don't encourage it. I don't recommend it at all.
It does. He loves it.
Oh, he loves it. He's
get it out of your bookmarks now.
He's one of their biggest VCs.
All right. Okay, that's it. That's another episode of Aussie Tech Heads all done and dusted for another week. We hope to see you next week for another episode, which we shall be doing again on Thursday night, and that will be after the Apple launch of whatever is coming out.
Oh, I'll miss that one.
So
workers decide to put on dinner next Thursday night that I have to go to, so...
Oh, the things you got to do when you're employed. Free dinners.
Oh, yeah. I've got to tell you my unavailable dates as well soon, Glenn.
All right, no worries.
Get phone and just go around and randomly interview people and say, hey, you're on a live podcast, what have you got to say?
All right,
it's all IT people, so it could be relevant.
Don't forget the facebook.com/AussieTechHeads, youtube.com/AussieTechHeads, show notes at AussieTechHeads.com.au/podcast. Paper, or was it? AussieTechHeads.com.au/paper. The Shoutcast Radio, AussieTechRadio.com, and whatever else. We're on iTunes. Don't forget the Aussie Mac Zone on iTunes. Don't forget the Alpha Geeks, Obsidian Loft, and everything else that comes out under the Aussie Tech Heads banner. The Aussie Tech Head at Aussie Tech News on Twitter. Everywhere. It's everywhere. All right. See you, boys. See you next week.
See you, Glenn, Eric, and Spinny.
See you later, Spinny.
Still going around.
See you, guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a good week. Take care. Bye for now. Ta-da.
Bye.
Bye.
Aussie TechEd is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie TechEd or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.